The Shepherd of Hermas, translated by J.B. Lightfoot. Part 10, Parable 6. As I sat in my house and glorified the Lord for all the things that I had seen, and was considering concerning the commandments, how that they were beautiful and powerful and gladsome and glorious and able to save a man's soul, I said within myself, Blessed shall I be if I walk in these commandments. Yea, and whosoever shall walk in them shall be blessed. As I spoke these things within myself, I see him suddenly seated by me, and saying as follows, Why art thou of a doubtful mind concerning the commandments which I commanded thee? They are beautiful. Doubt not at all, but clothe thyself in the faith of the Lord, and thou shalt walk in them. For I shall strengthen thee in them. These commandments are suitable for those who meditate repentance, for if they walk not in them, their repentance is in vain. Ye then that repent, cast away the evil doings of this world which crush you, and by putting on every excellence of righteousness, ye shall be able to observe these commandments, and to add no more to your sins. If, then, ye add no further sin at all, ye will depart from your former sins. Walk, then, in these my commandments, and ye shall live unto God. These things have all been told you from me. And after he had told these things to me, he saith to me, Let us go into the country, and I will show thee the shepherds of the sheep. Let us go, sir, say I. And we came to a certain plain, and he showeth me a young man, a shepherd, clothed in a light cloak of saffron color. And he was feeding a great number of sheep, and these sheep were, as it were, well fed and very frisky, and were gladsome as they skipped about hither and thither. And the shepherd himself was all gladsome over his flock, and the very visage of the shepherd was exceedingly gladsome, and he ran about among the sheep. And he saith to me, Seest thou this shepherd? I see him, sir, I say. This, saith he, is the angel of self-indulgence and of deceit. He crusheth the souls of the servants of God, and perverteth them from the truth, leading them astray with evil desires, wherein they perish. For they forget the commandments of the living God, and walk in vain deceits and acts of self-indulgence, and are destroyed by this angel. Some of them unto death, and others unto corruption. I say to him, Sir, I comprehend not what means unto death, and what unto corruption. Listen, saith he, the sheep which thou sawest gladsome and skipping about, these are they who have been turned asunder from God utterly, and have delivered themselves over to the lusts of this world. In these, therefore, there is not repentance unto life, for the name of God is being blasphemed through them. The life of such persons is death. But the sheep which thou sawest not skipping about, but feeding in one place, these are they that have delivered themselves over to acts of self-indulgence and deceit, but have not uttered any blasphemy against the Lord. These, then, have been corrupted from the truth. In these there is hope of repentance, wherein they can live. Corruption, then, hath hope of a possible renewal, but death hath eternal destruction. Again, we went forward a little way, and he showeth me a great shepherd, like a wild man in appearance, with a white goatskin thrown about him. And he had a kind of wallet on his shoulders, and a staff very hard and with knots in it, and a great whip. And his look was very sour, so that I was afraid of him because of his look. This shepherd then kept receiving from the young man, the shepherd, those sheep that were frisky and well fed, but not skipping about, and putting them in a certain spot, which was precipitous and covered with thorns and briars, so that the sheep could not disentangle themselves from the thorns and briars, but became entangled among the thorns and briars. And so they pastured, entangled in the thorns and briars, and were in great misery with being beaten by him, and he kept driving them about to and fro, and giving them no rest, and altogether those sheep had not a happy time. When, then, I saw them so lashed with the whip and vexed, I was sorry for their sakes, because they were so tortured and had no rest at all. I say to the shepherd who was speaking with me, "Sir, who is this shepherd who is so hard-hearted and severe, and has no compassion at all for these sheep?" "This," saith he, "is the angel of punishment, and he is one of the just angels, and presides over punishment. So he receiveth those who wander away from God, and walk after the lusts and deceits of this life, and punisheth them as they deserve, with fearful and various punishments." "I would fain learn, sir," said I, "of what sort are these various punishments?"
"Listen," saith he, "the various tortures and punishments are tortures belonging to the present life, for some are punished with losses, and others with want, and others with diverse maladies, and others with every kind of unsettlement, and others with insults from unworthy persons, and with suffering in many other respects. For many, being unsettled in their plans, set their hands to many things, and nothing ever goes forward with them. And then they say that they do not prosper in their doings, and it doth not enter into their hearts that they have done evil deeds, but they blame the Lord. When, then, they are afflicted with every kind of affliction, then they are delivered over to me for good instruction, and are strengthened in the faith of the Lord, and serve the Lord with a pure heart the remaining days of their life. But, if they repent, the evil works which they have done rise up in their hearts, and then they glorify God, saying that he is a just judge, and that they suffer justly, each according to his doings. And they serve the Lord thenceforward with a pure heart, and are prosperous in all their doings, receiving from the Lord whatsoever things they may ask. And then they glorify the Lord, because they were delivered over unto me, and they no longer suffer any evil thing."
I say unto him, "Sir, declare unto me this further matter."
"What inquirest thou yet?" saith he.
"Whether, sir," say I, "they that live in self-indulgence and are deceived undergo torments during the same length of time as they lived in self-indulgence and are deceived."
He saith to me, "They undergo torments for the same length of time."
"Then, sir," say I, "they undergo very slight torments, for those who are living thus in self-indulgence and forget God ought to have been tormented sevenfold."
He saith to me, "Thou art foolish, and comprehendest not the power of the torment."
"True," say I, "for if I had comprehended it, I should not have asked thee to declare it to me."
"Listen," saith he, "to the power of both, of the self-indulgence and of the torment. The time of the self-indulgence and deceit is 1 hour, but an hour of the torment hath the power of 30 days. If, then, one live in self-indulgence, and be deceived for 1 day, and be tormented for 1 day, the day of the torment is equivalent to a whole year. For as many days, then, as a man lives in self-indulgence, for so many years is he tormented." "Thou seest, then," saith he, "that the time of the self-indulgence and deceit is very short, but the time of the punishment and torment is long."
"Inasmuch, sir," say I, "as I do not quite comprehend concerning the time of the deceit and self-indulgence and torment, show me more clearly." He answered and said unto me,
"Thy stupidity cleaveth to thee, and thou wilt not cleanse thy heart and serve God. Take heed," saith he, "lest haply the time be fulfilled, and thou be found in thy foolishness." "Listen, then," saith he, "even as thou wishest, that thou mayest comprehend the matter. He that liveth in self-indulgence and is deceived for 1 day, and doeth what he wisheth, is clothed in much folly, and comprehendeth not the thing which he doth. for on the morrow he forgetteth what he did the day before. For self-indulgence and deceit have no memories, by reason of the folly wherewith each is clothed. But when punishment and torment cling to a man for a single day, he is punished and tormented for a whole year long, for punishment and torment have long memories. So, being tormented and punished for the whole year, the man remembers at length the self-indulgence and deceit, and perceiveth that it is on their account that he is suffering these ills. Every man, therefore, that liveth in self-indulgence and is deceived, is tormented in this way, because, possessing life, they have delivered themselves over unto death.
What kinds of self-indulgence, sir, say I, are harmful?
Every action, saith he, is self-indulgence to a man which he does with pleasure, for the irascible man, when he gives the reins to his passion, is self-indulgent, and the adulterer, and the drunkard, and the slanderer, and the liar, and the miser, and the defrauder, and he that doeth things akin to these, giveth the reins to his peculiar passion. Therefore he is self-indulgent in his action. All these habits of self-indulgence are harmful to the servants of God. On account of these deceits, therefore, they so suffer who are punished and tormented. But there are habits of self-indulgence likewise which save men, for many are self-indulgent in doing good, being carried away by the pleasure it gives to themselves. This self-indulgent, then, is expedient for the servants of God, and bringeth life to a man of this disposition. But the harmful self-indulgences aforementioned bring to men torments and punishments, and if they continue in them and repent not, they bring death upon themselves.
Parable 7. After a few days I saw him on the same plain, where also I had seen the shepherds, and he saith to me,
What seekest thou?
I am here, sir, say I, that thou mayst bid the shepherd that punisheth go out of my house, for he afflicteth me much.
It is necessary for thee, saith he, to be afflicted, for so, saith he, the glorious angel ordered as concerning thee, for he wisheth thee to be proved.
Why, what so evil thing have I done, sir, say I, that I should be delivered over to this angel?
Listen, saith he, thy sins are many, yet not so many that thou shouldst be delivered over to this angel. But thy house has committed great iniquities and sins, and the glorious angel was embittered at their deeds, and for this cause he bade thee be afflicted for a certain time, that they might also repent and cleanse themselves from every lust of this world. When, therefore, they shall repent and be cleansed, then shall the angel of punishment depart.
I say to him, Sir, if they perpetrated such deeds that the glorious angel is embittered, what have I done?
They cannot be afflicted otherwise, saith he, unless thou, the head of the whole house, be afflicted. For if thou be afflicted, they also of necessity will be afflicted. But if thou be prosperous, they can suffer no affliction.
But behold, sir, say I, they have repented with their whole heart.
I am quite aware myself, saith he, that they have repented with their whole heart. Well, thinkest thou that the sins of those who repent are forgiven forthwith? Certainly not. But the person who repents must torture his own soul, and must be thoroughly humble in his every action, and be afflicted with all the diverse kinds of affliction. And if he endure the afflictions which come upon him, assuredly he who created all things and endowed them with power will be moved with compassion, and will bestow some remedy. And this will God do, if in any way he perceive the heart of the penitent pure from every evil thing. But it is expedient for thee and for thy house that thou shouldst be afflicted now. But why speak I many words to thee? Thou must be afflicted, as the angel of the Lord commanded, even he that delivered thee unto me. And for this give thanks to the Lord, in that he deemed thee worthy that I should reveal unto thee beforehand the affliction, that, foreknowing it, thou might endure it with fortitude.
I say to him, Sir, be thou with me, and I shall be able to endure all affliction easily.
I will be with thee, saith he, and I will ask the angel that punisheth to afflict thee more lightly. But thou shalt be afflicted for a short time, and thou shalt be restored again to thy house. Only continue to be humble, and to minister unto the Lord with a pure heart, thou and thy children and thy house, and walk in my commandments which I command thee. And thus it will be possible for thy repentance to be strong and pure. And if thou keep these commandments with thy household, all affliction shall hold aloof from thee. Yea, and affliction, saith he, shall hold aloof from all whosoever shall walk in these my commandments.
End of part 10.